Blog Talk Radio.
Go down.
Of faith. I am one of your hosts, Christina Rake, and with me is Dr. Chuck Kennedy. See, I'm nervous. Dr. Chuck Kennedy, who is your co-host for the evening. And we're really excited that you could join us for something that is something I've never heard on the radio in my own time, something very unusual. And we're going to talk about it a bit before we perform this past life regression that we're going to do live on yours truly as the little lab rat. And afterwards, we will go into a brief commercial, just play a short song, and when we come back, we'll get started. For those of you who are tuning in by handset, by telephone, please do not listen to the show if you are driving. If you are performing any task that requires focused attention, such as cooking or babysitting small children, or if you're completely alone in the room, because it is possible that there can be some secondary hypnotic effects, and we do not want to draw you away from whatever it is you need to focus on right now. The show will be available afterwards in the archives for you to check out, to listen to, and then to mess with on your own, and we'll talk about that later. But please, please, please do not listen if you're driving. That's the most important thing. So we're going to perform a past life regression on me. I'm going to turn this over to Dr. Chuck in a little bit, and he'll explain his credentials, which are through the roof, nowhere near mine and anything I do, and what he's going to do, what it means, and we'll talk about that. But first, I wanted to talk a little bit about the sort of belief system that surrounds reincarnation, because that's what past life regression implies, that we have several lifetimes over the period of our soul's lifetime. So in other words, we come back and come back and come back from wherever it is our soul goes to after death, to live different lives with different people, or perhaps the same people. So when you listen to mine, I've never had this done before, so just remember, everything that I did was not me in this life. Those were other choices in other times with other people. So please don't tell everyone I was a serial killer or something. I'm pretty nice in this life. Just don't get me angry. Anyway, so I will be doing that. And I'll have to tell you, I've had my own struggle with reincarnation. I never for one minute doubted it. That wasn't the struggle. The struggle is that I'm a Catholic theologian with a master's degree in theology and scripture. And for the longest time, I had a hard time. I could not tell people outright that I believed that because the Roman Church condemns it. I'm currently old Catholic, studying under Archbishop Long to become a priest. So there's a different acceptance on that level of reincarnation in that church. But in the Roman Church, they are all like, bam, one lifetime it is appointed, once for a man to die, and then the judgment. And I'm like, yes, but what if they're referring to one body? You don't die several times in one's life. That's what they're talking about. But I do want to bring up two important Bible verses that if you talk to your Christian friends, you're like, there's no such thing. It's something interesting to just throw out there, because I wrote a graduate paper in seminary about mystical Judaism and early Christianity, and showed that there are hints of this, like the Dead Sea community, which did believe in reincarnation. So does Kabbalah Judaism. There's one section in the Gospels where Jesus encounters a man born blind. You probably have heard this story many, many times. He cries out, please, Son of God, have mercy on me. And the apostles turn to Jesus and want to know who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind. People gloss right over that statement, but stop and think about this. Did he sin so that the sin caused him to be born blind? When did he sin? Before this lifetime. Can't sin in the womb. So there again is that implication that there is some element of reincarnation in scripture. In addition, remember when people asked, Jesus said, who are people saying I am? And they said, Elijah returned to earth. Well, Jesus had a childhood, so they're saying that he was Elijah reborn. Some people said John the Baptist was Elijah reborn. Reborn, that's reincarnation, folks, it's in there. So when people bring this up and you can't believe that because you're Christian and stuff, a couple of things to throw out there. Now, there is another implication in the belief in reincarnation about soul contracts. And I'm going to turn this over to Dr. Kennedy because he has some really cool research into this. And then he'll explain what we're going to do tonight, some things you need to know. Dr. Chuck?
Hey, how you doing? When we look at soul contract, it's, you know, we have in the real world sense what a contract is. But soul contracts is really kind of a misnomer. It isn't really a contract as much as a blueprint or a life plan. Now, before we enter into the worldly state, our soul sits down with not just our guides, but our soul group. And the group gets together and they decide how our incarnation is going to be, what its purpose is. And we're basically, every life we live is really an assignment. And we have a learning experience that we're supposed to go through. And so we go in, we sit down, and we decide, you know, this is the learning experience I want to get out of this particular incarnation. And sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's not. Now, according to those who are really into the whole soul contract, life plan, blueprint concept, after your life is done, after your incarnation is done and your soul returns, there is then what is an evaluation to see how you did, and that's known as the judgment. So could that be the judgment that biblically is being referred to? And it's very possible it could be. And the whole idea of the blueprint, this is in our soul. We go in with no memory. We start an incarnation. Deep into our subconscious, we know what our blueprint is, but we're also given free choice. So now that once we're on this earth, our free choice and the influence of everybody else who has free choice, that changes how our life progresses. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to successfully complete our soul contract or our blueprint. And the point is that our goal is to learn from what it is. The grand plan is that we learn and that our soul learns from the experience. And it isn't always the lesson that we want or the lesson that we expect, but we end up learning by either, you know, completing the plan or falling on our face. And there's a lot of theory on everything from suicide to miscarriages and things that what terminates our incarnation early is because the plan isn't from either inception to somewhere along the way, our plan isn't working out the way it is, and it gets terminated. And that's a whole, that opens up a whole nother door, a whole nother concept, we could do a whole show on interrupting our incarnation and what the implications are. But part of the thing is everything, the major issues are laid out in this plan, in this blueprint, and the people that are involved, they're very often in our soul group. Maybe we have a soul group of 10 different people, and they come along. Maybe in their last incarnation, it was our mother, now it's our uncle. But these soul people, these soul groups, not all of them, but many of them, will enter into our life somewhere along the way. We may be 30 when a person comes along and he's part of our soul group. And we don't recognize him as being part of our soul group. We recognize him that, damn, I know him somewhere before. But the reality is that there really is no coincidence. Now, I've always been of the theory that coincidence is a refuge for the uninspired. It's basically, I'm too lazy to work and figure out what's going on, so I'll just call it coincidence. Einstein said coincidence is God's way of staying anonymous. And I like that. I think that's pretty cool. But every time we are reborn, we have a plan. We don't know exactly how it's going to work out. Our purpose is to learn from that plan as to how it goes, how it doesn't go. We have free choice to enter into a new plan, a new blueprint, a new soul contract. Personally, I will never do it again. I'm pretty much fed up. I've had it. I've fallen on my face too many times, and I'm just not going to do it again. But we all have a choice to, do we want to be incarnated again? Do we want to give another shot at it? Do we want to go for a shot at the title? And that's how we end up with all of these past lives.
Excellent.
Make any sense?
I hope it does everybody. And I think that made a lot of sense. When I started hearing that, it made sense to me because we've all had that experience where we've known this person we just met for a million years. And you can't even imagine a time when they weren't in your life. And for a lot of us, a child, a spouse, a parent, a friend. For me, this tonight is my 15th wedding anniversary. And when I met my husband, I met him online back in 1999 when people didn't do that. And the next morning, I went into work and told my friend, last night I had a 15-minute conversation with the man I'm going to marry. Now, I am psychic medium, but that wasn't what was going on in me there. And she said, wait, back up. Who is this? And she asked me all the questions, but then she said, how do you know? And I looked at her and I said, it's because it's not meeting him for the first time. It's remembering him. And that's how I know. And we've all had an experience where we weren't learning something for the first time. We weren't seeing something for the first time, meeting someone for the first time. We were remembering them for the first time. And that's really the best way I can describe it. We've all had those deja vu moments. We've all had those moments where we knew how to do something, even though there's no possible way we could have had a natural talent for it. So you really can't have a natural talent. there's so much evidence out there, and I suggest everybody go out and read a little bit about it because there's some excellent research into past lives, a lot of it out of India, understandably because it's part of the majority religion in Hinduism, but some fantastic stories about, there's a book, Children Who Remember Past Lives. That's one of the classics. It's written in the 80s, and it was one of my first that I read. So, yeah, there are these soul contracts. It's one of the theories, and I think we've all had that experience where nothing's going right, nothing's going right. I don't know what my purpose is, and then wham, you hear two lines of a radio show. You see three sentences in a book. And then you know what your plan is. You know what your purpose is. And we all get reminders like that from time to time. So all around us, there are signs that this is likely true. So tonight, we'll talk with Mia. And I do believe that you have a choice not to come back. I also believe that sometimes you're just done. And sometimes there are people who come back over and over and over again. Not just to learn things, but to help people. I'm just coming back
but that
for
could
these
be,
10 people.
That could be the learning lesson, how to help people. Maybe in the past, you weren't all that, you were a little bit more self-centered, you're a little bit more egotistical, you're a little bit more into yourself, and now you're coming back because your lesson is you have to learn how to be humble and to help those who don't have what you have.
Well, exactly. I mean, it can certainly... No matter why you're here, it is a mission. No matter why you're here, it is a mission. There is a purpose. And we never come away with nothing. Never. You never come away from this with nothing.
Well, in neuro-linguistic programming, we have a phrase, there's no such thing as failure. There's only experience.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a positive experience. Sometimes it's a negative experience. But you don't fail. Although I did. But anyway, you don't fail. You just learn from it and take what you want out of that knowledge. And it's all part of the bigger picture.
Right. And many people who have had near-death experiences talk about that end-of-the-life review. And the review, the question is, when they see their whole life in front of them and they feel the good they did, and they feel the evil they've done, when God turns to them, or whoever guide is there, turns to them and says, not what did you do, what did you not do, how could you? He says, what did you learn? Do you understand now? And that those are the two questions. They all relate. What did you learn, and do you now understand? And it all kind of ties together. The more you research, the more different things, the more you read, the more you see this really makes a lot of sense, this whole system of belief. So I am going to put you all into a song for about 3 minutes. While you're listening, Dr. Chuck and I are just going to confer behind the curtain. When we come back, we're going to start the hypnosis process. But Dr. Chuck, you had a couple warnings for the audience.
We'll do that before we go into the induction.
Let's
do that after the song.
Okay. Then let me play this for you, and I'll see you in a couple minutes.
A few things what we need to look at and think about. The whole idea of getting into the subconscious and going after past lives, everything that the body and the mind terminates in is a feeling and a feeling state, either internal or generated a feeling state of external behavior. And it's kind of a kinesthetic state. We take the five basic building blocks of kinesthesia, which are visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and olfactory, and gustatory. These are the building blocks that create all feelings, all thoughts, and that's what we're going after, is to look back at the different times in humanity and find out where those feelings came in for Christina. So that's what we're primarily going to be going after. And I know you're going to all want to try this at home. And I strongly urge you, don't do it alone. Have somebody with you. You may get into a point in one of your past lives that's really overwhelming for you, and you need somebody to guide you to get you the hell out of there. And so for that reason, I urge you, you know, don't try this at home alone. Now, nobody's wished me happy birthday in the last 24 hours, so I have to believe I wasn't born yesterday. Therefore, I know you're going to do it anyway. You're going to try it, you're going to do it, and just be careful. This is not child's play. You can end up getting really traumatized by this. You can find out things that you don't want to find out. And so really, really go into it cautiously. And if you ever want to do it on a guided path, I will, you know, get a hold of me and I'll guide you through it rather than have you go into it where it's you're gonna walk into a real shitstorm. So that being said, we're gonna start. We're gonna get. I'm a practitioner of hypnosis and neurolinguistic programming, and using those techniques, we're gonna get Christina to sit back and relax. Christina, are you comfortable?
Yes.
All right. Make yourself comfortable. Put your arms in a comfortable position. Make sure your legs are not crossed. If you can, put them up a bit because otherwise they're going to get heavy. Now close your eyes. Relax. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. Breathe deep. Keep your eyes closed. Relax. Picture yourself near a beach. You can hear the sound of the waves coming in. Breathe deep. Now relax all the muscles in your body. Start with the top of your head. Relax your scalp. Breathe deep. Relax all the muscles on your face, your forehead, around your eyes, your cheeks, and your jaw. Breathe deep. Rotate your head a little bit to relax the neck muscles. Roll your shoulders gently as you relax those muscles. Breathe deep. In through your nose, out through your mouth. Listen to the sound of the waves coming in. You feel the sun on your skin. It is a comfortable, soothing sun. Not too hot, just comfortable. And the gentle breeze through your body. Let your arms go limp. Just let them relax. Feel your torso relax. First your chest, then your abdomen. Relax. Breathe deep. Abdominal breaths. You feel your thighs go weak, then your calves, your ankles, the soles of your feet. Are totally relaxed. You are so relaxed right now, just listening to the sound of the waves and the sound of my voice. But you need to go deeper. You need to get closer to the waves. You have to go down some steps to get closer to the waves. With each step you go, you will get deeper and deeper. Step one, you are going deeper. Steps two, three, four, deeper you go. Five, six, seven, you are getting very deep. Eight, nine, ten, you are now in a deep sleep. Deeper and deeper. With every breath that you take, with every beat of your heart, you're just getting deeper, and your life gets better and better. You are now deeply relaxed. You're very deep. As you're on that beach, you see a building. You walk in, and the door closes behind you. As you look around the room, there is another door across that room. Not yet, but when I tell you to, I want you to open that other door. When you do, you will see a hall with doors along the right side of the hall. Each door is a past life. On that door is a four-digit number. That is the year that you are going back to. The first door that you will come to is your current life. This current life's birthday, year of your birth, is on it. If you would like to go into that room, when we get there, you can review your current life. As I take you into any life, I will ask you to relay your sensations one by one. If at any time you become uncomfortable, just say your safe word, help, and I will get you out of there. Now, are you ready to begin your journey?
Yes.
Open the door to the hallway. How many doors do you see?
I can't see you.
I can barely hear you. Can you speak up a bit?
I can't see the end of the hallway. The doors just keep going on.
They just, and I kind of expected this. All right, go to the first door. What year were you born?
1932.
Do you want to go in that room? Or do you want to keep going down the hall? I'm sorry.
That room's fine. Let's go in.
Okay, open that door and walk into that room.
Okay.
As you look around that room, what year is it?
1932.
1932. What do you see? Look at your hands. What gender are you?
I'm a boy.
You're a boy. All right. In 1932, you're a boy. What do you hear? Do you hear anything?
It's a city.
You hear a city. Do you see anything?
Five-story brick stones. There are both horses.
All right. What do you, on the outside, do you feel anything? Is anybody touching you? Is anything touching you? Are you feeling any pain? Do you feel anything on the outside?
No.
Okay. Inside, how are you feeling? Are you feeling anxious? Are you feeling joyful? Are you feeling any kind of sadness, joy? How do you feel?
Happy.
Happy. Happy's good. Happy's good. All right. Is there anything else that you, do you smell anything?
The horse manure and the smoke.
The horse manure and the smoke. All right. So do you see anything that's important to you?
No, my view is only out this window. I can't turn around.
Okay. All right. Why don't we go back out to the hall? Go back into the hallway and stand in the hall for a second. Let me know when you're in the hall.
I'm back.
All right. Go down the hall to the next door and tell me what year you see.
It's 18-something. I don't know the last two numbers.
All right. Do you want to go in that room? Or do you want to keep, okay, all right, then open the door and walk into the room and tell me the first sense that is triggered when you walk in that room.
It's very lavish. It's wealthy.
It's wealthy. All right. Look at your hand. Are you a boy or a girl?
I'm a woman.
You're a woman. All right. About how old are you?
30.
30. All right. Do you hear anything?
There's workers outside in the field.
There's workers in the field. All right. So is this a mansion for an estate, a farm, or a plantation?
Yeah. It's an estate.
It's an estate. All right, so you're a 30-something living in an estate. Do you feel anything? Is there anything externally, anything on the outside of your body? Are you feeling any pain? Is anything or anyone touching you?
No.
All right. All right. What do you feel inside? Do you feel joy, sadness?
I'm really angry the cook didn't listen to my orders.
Pissed off because the cook didn't listen to your orders. All right. All right. So this cook's about due to get fired, right?
It seems so when my husband gets home.
All right. All right. Are you, is there anything that you're looking at or that you're hearing that you wish to share with us?
The piano forte is over near the window. I can see out the window.
You can see out the window.
They're bringing in the birds for the week to cook.
All right. They're bringing in the birds. And this is in the 1800s, you said?
It's 1809, England.
1809. Do you have any idea where in the world you're at?
I'm in England.
You're in England?
I'm in England.
All right. But you're not feeling any pain? You're not feeling any discomfort of any kind? All right. So basically at this point in that life, life is okay other than the damn cook.
It's very nice. It's boring, but nice.
All right. All right. Is there anything else you want to look at in that point in your life, of that life? Or do you want to go back to the hall and keep going?
I want to go back.
All right. Step out in the hall. Go through the door again and step out in the hall.
Okay.
Now go down the hall to the next room and tell me the number on the door. What year is it?
1876.
Now, that's an auspicious year. 1776. Do you wish to go in there?
Yes.
Go on in. Tell me the first thing you see.
It's a battlefield.
A battlefield. Look at your hands. Are you a man or a woman?
I'm a man.
You're a man. How do you feel? Are you in any pain? Are you wounded?
No, I'm ducking.
You're ducking. All right, what do you hear? Are you in mid-battle?
We're in Monmouth.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
We're at the Battle of Monmouth. We're in Monmouth.
Monmouth. All right, one of the major battles. And the battle is raging as you're speaking?
Yes.
All right. What do you hear? Cannon fire? Gunfire?
The British are so stupid, they think they're on a field. We're just picking them off from behind the trees.
Oh, okay. What are you shooting? A musket?
Yes, when it'll shoot. It jams.
Okay. It jammed. How do you feel? Are you nervous not having your musket ready?
No, I'm pretty even-headed.
And what do you smell? Probably gunfire or gunpowder?
It's gunpowder, but they've set something on fire behind me, so I smell wood burning.
You smell wood burning. All right. Do you want to stay there a bit and see how that battle plays out?
No, I don't think I make it much past this.
All right. Did you want to go back into the hall and move on?
Sure.
All right. Step back out into the hall and close the door behind you.
Okay.
Move on down the hall to the next door and tell me what year that is.
1712.
Did you want to go into 1712?
Sure.
Step in and tell me the first thing you see.
It's pitch black.
It's pitch black. What do you hear?
Something scared the horses outside. I've got a candle lit.
Something scared the horses. How do you feel? Externally, do you feel any pain, any discomfort? Are you in shackles? Is there anything touching you?
No, not at all. I'm in my dressing gown.
You're in your dressing gown, so you're down for the night. What do you feel internally? Are you having any fear, any anxiety, any joy, any pleasure?
I'm just concerned it's a coyote.
Just concerned about the coyotes. All right. Is there anyone with you? Anybody around you?
My wife.
Your wife. All right. As you look around you, what else is happening? Anything? Anything? Anybody else in the room or anybody outside?
No, it's just she and I.
All right. Very late at night or early evening?
The moon's already out. It's got to be after midnight.
All right. Do you have any idea where in the world you're at?
Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Plymouth, Massachusetts. All right. All right. Look around you at the different items in the room. Is there anything in that room that gives you any clue as to what kind of life you lead, what you do for a living, and how many other family members you have, where you're at in terms of Plymouth, Massachusetts? Do you see anything that'll give you a clue as to who you are or what you're doing there, why you're there?
I'm a parson.
You're a parson. All right.
I have 9 grown children. They're all away.
All right.
There's a painting of all of them.
All right. About how old are you?
In my 70s.
You're in your 70s. All right. How's your health for somebody in their 70s in the early 1700s?
I can walk. I can grab a gun.
Grab a gun. All right. That's a good thing. All right. Is there anything else you want to stay in that room for, or do you want to go back to the hall?
I want to bring the parson's bookcase with me up here. But no, there's nothing else here.
Nothing there for you right now, so you want to go back to the hall?
Yes.
Step out in the hall and let the door close behind you.
I want to go back to 1932.
Then why don't you walk down the hall to 1932 and go back into that room?
Okay.
Let me know. Are you in the room?
There. Yes, you're not.
All right.
Too far away.
Look around. What is it that you're seeing right now?
I'm older.
How much older?
I'm 18.
You're 18. What do you hear? Anything?
We're all high-fiving. I think I just graduated high school.
All right. So you're 18, you just graduated high school. And where on earth did you say you're at?
I was in New York City.
New York City. And this is 1932 in New York City, and you're 18 years old. So you were born in 32, but now it's actually 18 years later. Is that correct?
Yes, it's 1950.
1950 in New York City. What are you doing with your life? Anything?
Still enlisting.
You're with some of your friends. How are you feeling? Physically, how are you feeling?
Excited. I'm jumping around.
You're excited. You're jumping around. All right. What do you smell?
Nothing. We're outside. We're in our graduation gowns.
You're in your graduation gowns outside, ready to graduate. Or did you just did graduate?
Yeah. We just graduated.
All right. So this life interests you.
Yes.
Do you want to move on? Do you want to move a couple of years ahead and see where this is going?
I want to move to 1964. I have a question.
You have a question about 1964. All right, go back out into the hall.
Okay. I'm out.
Now that room has gone 14 years on, it's now 1964. Go back into the room, and it is now 1964. Are you still in New York City?
Oh, shit, no. No, I'm not in New York City.
Where are you?
I'm in the jungle.
You're in the jungle. All right. Where is this jungle on the planet?
I'm in Vietnam.
You're in Vietnam in 1964. All right. What are you hearing?
I've got my head down. They're shooting at us. They came down from the trees. I can hear gunfire everywhere.
You're taking fire right now.
I'm trying to get my men back to the beach.
You're trying to get your men back to the beach. All right. How many men are with you? How many are under your command?
There's only 7 of us left.
There's 7 of you left. Have you radioed for an exit strategy?
I can't get to the radio. Our communications guy died on top of it. It's all the way over there.
All right, so you're just trying to hope for the best and retreat the best you can. Is that right?
I'm trying to send 2 of them the flank left for cover fire while the others run. When those 2 go, I'm going to cover them.
All right. All right. As this unfolds, look around you. Let me know what's happening. Tell me what's going on.
Bullets sound like bugs going past your ears.
Sounds like bugs going past your ears, but those aren't bugs, are they?
No. We don't have any low ground. We're as low on our bellies as we can get.
All right. Do you want to stay here or do you want to go out in the hall?
No, I remember what I did now.
You remembered what you did. What happens next?
I won't let those 2 flank left there to run on my signal. I'm going to stand up and cover them while they get to the beach. I'm not leaving here.
All right. Give me a visual description of how that's working out for you. What happens next?
Holding onto my helmet, and I'm arguing that with them that they won't go. And I've ordered them, and they refuse.
They won't leave you?
No.
All right, what's happening now? Are you still taking fire?
Yeah, they're up and behind us, and they're getting closer. In fact, they've stopped shooting. They're almost on top of us. When they stop shooting, it's because they're looking for us.
All right, what happens next?
I tell them, you can do whatever the fuck you want, but I'm standing up and shooting. Run or stay and die, it's your decision. And I stand up and start shooting.
Then what happens?
2 guys run. The rest stand up and shoot with me. I'm the last to go down.
Are you down now?
I'm not dead, but I'm laying down now.
All right. Do you want to stay in that room and tell me more, or do you want to get out in the hall?
No, I remember. We can go.
You can go now?
We can go. I remember everything.
All right. Then get out in the hall. Are you out in the hall yet?
Yes.
All right. All right. We covered quite a bit in a short amount of time. Why don't you go back and return to the main room of the building where you first came in? Let me know when you're in that room.
I'm here.
All right. All right, there's a chair in the middle of the room. The door to the hallway is closed, correct?
Yes.
And the door to the outside is closed, correct?
Yes.
The only thing in that room is a chair in the middle of the room. Go sit in that chair.
Okay.
Okay. Now, in a moment, not yet, but in a moment, I'm going to count from 1 to 5. You'll return to this reality only at the rate and speed that is comfortable for you. You're going to find as the days progress that you can help people 1,000 times better than ever before. Your skills are going to amplify, multiply, because you suddenly realize that everyone out there in the real world has no clue what you know, and they are easy subjects for your skills. You can make people better with what you now know, with or without them knowing it. And you will feel good about yourself because you took the time to learn skills to help people, including yourself, because you are people too, and you count, and you deserve all the good things that life has to offer. 1, return yourself to this place we call reality, bringing with you a brand new reality, a reality where you are the master of change, a reality where only you can take control of your inner transformation and custom design who you are, who you want to be, and the results you want in your life from what you learned. 2, all of my suggestions from me to you, from you to your subconscious mind, are 10 times more powerful, 10 times more effective, 10 times more unstoppable, and they only get better for as long as your heart continues to beat and for as long as your lungs continue to move oxygen. Your life will only get better and better from here. 3, you will always find at least 3 ways to overcome obstacles or circumstances that you may face. You will always have at least 3 solutions to every problem that you have to solve, and your amazing creative problem-solving faculties of your unconscious mind will go on overdrive to quickly, easily, automatically generate the solutions that you need in the fastest, most efficient way possible, for the good of yourself and for all concerned. 4, because it's all for you, my friend. You made the investment in you. You chose to become the person that deserves to have success in life. On the next count, you will return to this state, to the most joy of your life, realizing it only gets better from here. 5, come on back whenever you're ready. All right, to all the folks at home who have been listening in as we wait for Christina to come back with us, if you try this at home, please have somebody with you. If you want to know more about it, get in touch with me, and I will help you. I do hypnosis for regression, for past life regression or current life regression. I also do hypnosis for anxiety, smoking, weight loss, and just about anything. I can cure phobias in 10 minutes. And so if you're having a problem, get in touch with me and I'll help you. And the goal is, you know, we want to have a better life. We all want to be able to live, thrive, and survive. Christina, are you with us?
Yeah. I'm here.
All right. How you feeling, girl?
Good. I had a really hard time opening my eyes when I wanted to. That was very discomforting. No, I mean right now. When you said
when it comes to putting people to sleep, yeah, hell, I do that real good. I'm a cure for insomnia.
See, I knew it. I knew that I have freaking been here forever. I have always said that.
Okay, now do you remember everything we did, everything we said?
Yes.
All right, cool.
Yeah. I just can't believe that hallway. I could not see the end of the hallway.
I had a feeling. I really had a feeling that was going to be your answer. That's why it was important to me to ask that question. How many doors are down that hall? And I knew you were going to look down and go, holy shit.
No, it was almost like it was every generation. It just seemed like I had a couple every century, or at least one. And
mm-hmm.
I bet you if I just went to the end of the hall. I'd like to have lots of fur and throw spears.
You know, I'm thinking if you went all the way down to the end of the hall and you walked in the room, in the room there, you'd be helping Moses down the mountain.
I don't know. I've always wondered if how far it went, because there is not a single time period in history that I don't get completely wrapped up and almost nostalgic about.
No kidding.
Yeah, so it's
that's
just, I'm
cool.
A historian. But that was really
Well,
neat.
I've always said I'm living proof of reincarnation, because nobody can be this stupid in one lifetime. All right, how do you feel, though? I mean, physically, you feel okay?
Yeah, I'm just shaky.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, that's a lot of, you know, it was only probably, what, half hour maybe? But that was a lot of personal information to absorb and to deal with. The next several days, this is going to keep playing in your mind over and over, and you're going to understand more and more of it. The implications of it and all the ramifications of what you went through in the past half hour are just going to unfold over the next several days, and it's going to trigger memories from when you were in that time period, when you lived in that time period, and you're going to be looking for a way to figure out what's going on.
It was,
does that make any
the
sense?
The second I walked in, it wasn't just a sort of, I was expecting just kind of vague impressions, and it was like walking into a room. I could see everything. I could tell you the paintings on the wall, carriages
were
going past.
Everything was very vivid.
Very vivid.
Okay, when you looked at it, was it like you're literally walking into the room or like you're watching it on TV?
I was literally walking into the room, stepping
right,
out onto
cool.
that street, stepping into the parlor. It was like I was almost like I was completely reliving a moment.
Uh-huh, and that's a disassociated event as opposed to an associated event where you're just a casual observer looking into watching it on a movie screen. So that's pretty cool. That was... As I say, you're going to just get a whole lot more of information out of this over the next several days, possibly even several weeks, and more things are going to suddenly just pop into your head. And you're going to go, oh, now I remember when blah, 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 when I was in New York City, whatever. And this is just going to grow and grow. And that's why next week's show is going to be so much fun, because you're going to be able to relay all the things that what happened tonight triggers.
My teeth are chattering. I am shaking. And I'm not scared or anything. It's like my whole body went cold.
It's an overwhelming experience. And what a lot of people don't realize is when you go back to that time, especially the kinetic feeling of knowing you can feel everything around you. You can feel when somebody shakes your hand, you can feel the dried out calluses on their hand. You can relive the feeling of disappointment of whatever it is, but both the internally and the external feelings are so real. They are just unbelievably real, and that's what a lot of people don't recognize, how amazing that can be. It's just the most powerful memories you could ever possibly have. It makes the most vivid dream seem like you weren't really dreaming. I mean, it is really an incredibly powerful feeling. And it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, and I felt very much in control whole time. But I'm a lucid dreamer. I can control my dreams and remind myself, this is a dream, go over there and stuff like that. But yeah, felt very much in control.
It's so much more real than any dream I've ever experienced. And I've had some pretty good dreams, and that doesn't even include the Swedish bikini Olympic cheerleaders. But I digress. the feelings of going into a past life regression are just, I mean, you're there, it's your life, and you are so in the moment. It's really amazing.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm thinking about it, and there were a couple lives where I saw myself from outside of myself. There were only two. The others, I was in there.
Now, when you can see yourself from outside yourself, now the interesting thing is, had we, and that's not the kind of thing you do on a radio show, but had we delved into them, we could have gone in and really dissected those a whole lot deeper. But but the thing is, they're past, they're over with, they're behind you. How far do you want to dissect these things? If it was that, if you had a fear of heights right now, and we go back and find out you fell off of a high rise, we could go in and dissect that event where four lives ago you fell off a high rise and you were killed, and now you don't like going up past the second floor of any building, but you don't really know why. Until we go into the past life, we find out what event happened in that life that scared the hell out of you so much, because you probably, you know, obviously died from it. But now we can take that memory, and we can, using neuro-linguistic programming, we can restructure that memory, white it out, give you a memory that's fine, maybe looking out on the city before you fell, take that fond memory, replace the old memory with the fond memory, bring you back to where you are now. High rises don't bother you anymore because we cured the problem from four lives ago. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, and that's interestingly what Raymond Moody, near-death experience guru, wrote a book about past lives, but he said he didn't believe in reincarnation, yet he used the past lives to do exactly that. He said as if they were real. And it was interesting because he did it as if they were real, but he had just determined, no, I don't believe it. And I thought, that's weird, but he found it was such a great clinical tool to pretend they were real and tell his patients they were real that he did that. And I thought, how do you do that with your head? How do you convince yourself?
Yeah.
No, it's not real, but let's all pretend it's real because it works. And I thought, well, if it works, doesn't that mean it's real?
Yeah.
I don't know. With the mind, that's not necessarily the case.
Well, the subconscious cannot lie. Your body cannot lie. So if we go back in time and we go to those subconscious memories, we go to those feelings that you have, and we replace those feelings with good feelings and good memories, and then move you forward, we just got you past that whole thing, and now your phobia, your fear, your uneasy. I had a lady that was, she had to go to Greece. She had family in Greece, and she'd go there a couple times a year. But every time she was in Greece, she was all anxious and everything else. And then when, you know, on her way home, they get to Rome, and at Rome, she was fine. But in Greece, she was all anxious all the time. And through some past life regression, we found out that she had in ancient Greece, she was pretty much butchered. And so I was able to replace those memories with better memories. And now every time she goes to visit her family, it's nothing but peace and joy and what it should be.
Wow.
The human mind is a crazy thing, isn't it?
Mine is, yeah. Yeah, I have the most bizarre phobia. It's so specific. I'm not afraid of water. I'm not afraid of being in water. I don't like being in water I can't see to the bottom of. But when you get to the point where I'm in water I can't see to the bottom of, and there are either walls or reeds or something, the edge of something that comes out of the water, a boat, whatever it is, I go into fits of hyperventilation. And it's weird. I mean, that's not like... That's just for, and I said, I'm like, I must have sunk in a boat or been next to a wall and drowned. I don't know, but it was just a very strange phobia if you think about it.
Well, what we'll do, and not on a radio show, but what we'll do is we'll take you back to when you were in the water, and we'll find that point in time, wherever that was, and we'll find out exactly what happened, and we'll walk you through it, and then we'll replace that memory with a good memory, and then next time you're in the water, you won't have that problem.
Now, I have a question for you, Dr. Chuck. When you do this sort of a hypnosis on a psychic medium, do you find that they have different reactions or stronger ability to see things, remember things after, anything like that?
No, actually, it's we're all pretty much the same.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Yeah. No, it really doesn't help. It doesn't hurt. In some cases, being a medium, they're used to putting abstract relationships together. And so they have a little better of a chance of interpreting afterwards that what everything really meant. But the reality is, I didn't want to get too deep into anything, nothing that will embarrass you.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't ask you on that plantation, you know, were you the town hooker or anything? Nothing that would embarrass you. The point is that, you know, you can expand on all of it. We kind of scratched the surface to give people an understanding of how it works. But I didn't want to get into anything embarrassing or painful for you that would be difficult where we didn't have time to then address. Because,
right.
Getting killed in Vietnam, you were still alive. That's when I thought it was time to get out of there. And
right.
And had we taken that further, then it could have been very painful, and then we'd be doing another hour and a half and trying to get past such a horrible, painful experience.
I don't mean to laugh, but I could just imagine people listening to 2 hours of me weeping because I'm dying. I'm so dramatic as it is.
I have a ghost tour to do at 10 o'clock, you know, so I had to
this
moving along.
I'm teasing you.
By the way, if anyone out there has any questions, yeah, I've got a ghost tour from 10 to midnight tonight, but then after midnight I'll be available if anyone wants to ask questions. But that was a whole lot of fun taking you through the whole routine.
That was very fun. And even close to death, I didn't feel any fear. I just kind of had this almost like I don't think I was afraid of death at that point. It was just, let's get this done.
It's been my experience since I've literally sat at the bedside of over 700 people as they died. And no, I don't do that for hobby, folks. I was working hospice. I don't walk into, death rooms and go, "Hi, I'm here to watch you die." No, I was working hospice for years, and I ran hospices. And when I ran hospices, I've literally been at the bedside. And the interesting thing is the closer we get to death, the less we fear it because we understand it more.
Mm-hmm.
Very seldom did I ever see anyone who is, or really, it's really coming down to their last few breaths, that they're afraid of dying. They've already made their peace. They're ready to die. Let's get the party started. And I think the closer you are to it, most people fear it quite a bit less than, when you're feeling fairly healthy and all your life is good and you're enjoying your family and you're enjoying things and suddenly you're going to face death. That scares you more because you're going to lose all the things that are important to you right now. But once you get close to dying, you know you've got nowhere to go. There's nowhere to run. This is it.
Cool. Well, folks, I'm going to play a brief song. Dr. Chuck and I will just confer for a second, and then when we come back, we'll tell you about next week's episode, which will sort of be a follow-up and wrap-up of this with you calling in with questions and things. And then we'll just sort of go over a few more things, answer any questions from the chat room, and sign off. So let me put this on, and we'll be right back, okay?
the Savior, what a soldier he had been. But his steps will be more steady when the saints go marching in.
Hope your ears were burning.
No, we only said nice things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I lied.
Now, we had a couple questions in the chat room about getting in touch with Dr. Chuck. He's going to give you all his contact info, and then we'll explain how it can be possible for you to use an edited version of this show, not doing it alone with someone there to help, to do your own simple past life regression to sort of help you get a glimpse into the issues you're having. So I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Chuck to give his info and then to sort of give you a warning. What I'm going to do is I'm going to edit out my answers so you don't hear those, and then the questions that Dr. Chuck asks that are specific to what I've said. So without those, and with some air put in there, you can, with someone there to help you, use this audio, go into a state of relaxation, and then hit a tape recorder. I'm so old. Hit a recorder.
A real tutorial.
I know. Your own answers. You can record your own answers out loud. And then listen to them when Dr. Chuck brings you back, and you can do it that way. So Dr. Chuck's going to give you his contact info and then some advice and information about how to do that in your home. And also, next week, we're going to do a follow-up to this week. So you're going to be able to call in here next week. And same time, same day, Wednesdays at 7 p.m., A Question of Faith, this radio channel. And you can come right to the link that you did there and just click our name, and then you'll find the newest one. So if you call back next week, you can do a follow-up, tell us what you discovered, share your own discoveries, ask questions, whatever it is you need to do. So, Dr. Chuck, how do we get in touch with you, and how do they do this cool thing at home?
I will be at ghostsofbranson.com for a couple of more weeks, about another 10 days. At ghostsofbranson.com is my email address, Chuck Kennedy, one word, Chuck Kennedy at Hotmail. And you can email me any questions you have. And you can find that and my phone number at ghostsofbranson.com. And I'm also at Ghosts of DFW. I'm heading down to Fort Worth 3 weeks from today to go work with an amazing team down there. Robin and I already have a couple of unbelievable investigations set up, and that's going to be a whole lot of fun. So my contact information, if you can't remember, Chuck Kennedy at hotmail.com, you can just go to Ghosts of Branson or Ghosts of DFW, and for Dallas-Fort Worth, Ghosts of DFW, and all my contact information is there. I'm on Facebook as Dr. Chuck, one word, because Facebook doesn't let you use the prefixes. So Dr. Chuck Kennedy, and then Ghosts of DFW is on Facebook also. And you can get a hold of me there, and I'll do what I can to help. And next week, if you try this at home, and I don't really suggest it, but basically you can use the procedure that I did earlier. Have somebody with you so that as you get into these rooms, they ask what you see, what you hear, what you feel externally, what you feel internally, what you're smelling. And if you're actually eating anything, you can ask about the gustatory effect. What are you tasting? And these are the senses that trigger all memories, that create all memories and all feelings. And everything that happens to our brain or to our body ultimately ends up with a feeling in our body. And so what we hear, what we see, what we touch, all of those end up being a feeling, and those feelings are in our body, and we can access them. So if you have questions from tonight or questions as you research more, just call in next week, and we'll talk about them.
Very cool. And now, just so you know, if you use the audio and try this in your home, you do so at your own risk. It can get dangerous when you start to mess around with the mind. If you have someone with you who is somewhat trained in this, the best way to do this is with a trained professional, like Dr. Chuck, with a trained hypnotist, someone who knows what they're doing. The audio that you get from the show will bring you into a state of relaxation. However, you can't enter the rooms without guidance. You have to have that person there. Even doing that with someone with you, again, you're doing at your own risks. And be very, very careful, because we suggest you do it with a professional. The audio is here. You can try it with someone in the room, but again, it's very dangerous because if you hit something traumatic, think about it. Just think about seeing a traumatic image or a car wreck right in front of you, all right? You might have that exact reaction and then that exact trauma just from trying this. So that's something to keep in mind. Now, you can contact Dr. Chuck and talk to him about it, talk to him about the options. Do your research before you do anything, as always. Go ahead, Dr. Chuck.
If you try something and you screw it up and then you call me, now it's going to be a much, much bigger mess to fix.
Yeah. So you heard what happened with me. The questions were generic, but really, really, the best way to do this is with a professional. Okay, so, and definitely never alone. Could you imagine being in that state and not being able to get out of just chronic terror? Don't do that.
Now, part of the thing is, though, if you ever hypnotize yourself, and you don't know where to go to next, and you've got nobody to try to guide you out of it, the reality is just relax. You'll go to sleep, and when you're done with the nap, you'll wake up and wonder what the fuck happened. But if you do hypnosis at home and you don't know, and you kind of get trapped, just stop thinking, let yourself go into a nap, and in a little while, life will be better.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. And talking to Dr. Chuck, it's
a great way to go to sleep at night.
I've been doing that. It was funny because I was talking to Dr. Chuck about this episode, and it turned out I'd been hypnotizing people for a very long time, and I didn't know that's what it was. See?
What's in the name?
Yeah, I'm a very persuasive person. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed tonight. If anything of the mind, be very cautious. I will edit this out so that you can use at least the first portion for relaxation, for guided meditation, anything, even falling asleep, just to enter that state of relaxation. Anything else, you will have to have a guide with you, okay? So those are the rules. But, you know, past life regression is certainly worth it. And if you can do it with a professional so that you can delve very, very deeply and safely, I would recommend it. I know people for whom it's been life-changing. We did nothing very specific here because it is a live show. But even the couple of things that I saw really helped make some things make sense for me, especially why I always feel so tired. I've been here forever. But thanks for joining us tonight, folks. I hope you have a wonderful week. Please join us again next week, Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Past Life Follow-Up. Be prepared to call in with questions or call in with stories, your own past life coincidences, times when you realized, I think I've done this before, or even regressions that you've done. We really would love to hear those stories. That's the type of thing that helps people with grief, that helps us minimize our fear of death, to know that there is absolutely something beyond this, and we don't have to worry, and we have nothing to be afraid of. So thank you for joining us tonight. Dr. Chuck, thank you so much for being here, as always.
I had a great time.
You are just the class act. I love talking to you. Everyone.
Hey, Christina?
Yeah?
If it wasn't for lower class, there wouldn't be any.
I will remember
Christina,
that one.
Have a peaceful evening, and congratulations again on your anniversary.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. God bless your night. We'll see you next week.
God bless, guys. Take care.